Brief introduction, who I am. I am Simone Chiaretta, I'm from Italy. I'm an ASP.NET MVP, ASP Insider. I have a blog, which is codeclimber.net.nz. And I moved to Belgium 2 years ago, and now I'm living in Belgium, so I'm part of the Belgian community. Today, we'll talk about what's coming, what it is already available in MVC 4, in the preview version we have now. But let's first start with which are the goals of .NET 4. And the goals are basically not to add new, very big features, but just to enhance what we already have with easier development and deployment, and bring together all the web stack of love, as Scott Ansermal call it. ASP.NET is not just MVC or web form or web pages. It's all of them. So it's better if we can capitalize everything and in just one product. And that's what's probably going to happen with MVC4. And there will be better HTML5 and support for mobile, because now mobile browsing is a reality. And so it's not a future thing, but it's something that we have addressed now. And it's cloud ready, which means it works out of the box on Azure. Let's move on. So in detail, which are the new features of MVC4? We have a new project template. The other one was a bit old. Now they have a new one, better looking and more modern. They have enhanced support for mobile sites, so we can build mobile-ready sites. And in the context of easier deployment and development, there is recipes or recipes, for which is a kind of plugin for building your own custom generation, your code generation. It's a bit like a NuGet for including something, and a bit like scaffolding, but more powerful because you can do, but we'll see that later. And still in the context of easier deployment and development, there is a easier support for asynchronous controllers. Previously, it was very complicated to write an asynchronous controller in MVC. Now with the introduction of the task, which is part of .NET 4, the task library, now it's very easy to build asynchronous controllers. And as I said, it's cloud ready, which I'm not going to show, but it works in Azure too. So let's see how to get that version first. It's been released during the Build conference in September 2011, and they dropped the support for .NET 3, 3.5, and now it's just .NET 4, and it works in .NET 4.5 preview. And it's downloadable from the Web Platform Installer 4, the new version, which allows also to download beta application while the previous one didn't. Or you just go to ASP.NET /MVC, and you get the latest bits. So first, let's have a look at a new project template. We will see later, better in a demo, but this you can see in this slide, they moved from a very basic, let's say that way, website to a better, nice-looking website, which closely resembles the ASP.NET website. Yeah, not really close, but it's the same look and feel. And it's HTML5 by default. So in the previous version, you could enable HTML5. Now this checkbox is always enabled by default. So everything it will be with a nice semantic markup of HTML5. It will include two new libraries. The jQuery UI that it's also been used already in the default template for the login and for the registration process. It includes Knockout.js, which is an MVVM JavaScript library developed by Steven Sanderson in Microsoft. And they introduced this reactive design via media queries, so the site can adapt to the different sides of the site can adapt to different sides of screens. So it also work automatically with mobiles, but in an easier way. So let's just go to the demo. Let's see if I can. Okay. So first, I'm going to show you the new project template. I already created, so it's not going to take forever to create a new one. But I just show you how it works, how it looks. So if I create a new MVC4 application, this is a Visual Studio 2010. So you already can use it in your production development environment. You don't have to use a Dev 11, which is a new version, to use MVC4. So I just start the dialogue, and here you have the internet application, and you see the checkbox is already enabled by default, and you cannot uncheck it. You can still choose if you want Razor or ASPX. And in addition to the internet application and the internet application that were already in MVC3, we have also the mobile application, which is a mobile-only application. But let's cancel. And this is a new empty website already created, so we don't have to wait. So I just launch it, and we see how it works, how it looks. So this is the new template. As you see, it's much more content, also easier information to get you started with doing development. So it tells you how the next step to build your own application, and also all the other information, like if you want to find the hosting, where to find it, and so on. And if you click on the login button, it should open a dialog. Okay, and this is done with jQuery UI, which is part of the default package. And another nice thing, as I told you, if I shrink the screen, okay, now you see. I hope everybody can see now the logo. It's on the left and the menu is on the right. But then when it becomes less than, I don't know how many pixels, everything goes centered. This is done without JavaScript. It's the CSS query, media queries. And it also works in the emulator. This is exactly without introducing new code for supporting mobile. We already have an application that is already like with a better format for the mobile, even though it's still the same desktop application, because it takes advantage of the query of the media queries, and since the Windows Phone 7 screen size is less than 800 pixels, it automatically goes to the tiny version of the site. How this is done? It's a very simple line of code in the CSS, and it's somewhere toward the end of this file. It's here. This is the conditional CSS when we are on a screen, so when you go to print, it doesn't apply. And then if the screen size is less than 850 pixels, it will use this part of the CSS, while if it's not, it will use the other one. But that's the standard side. So we go back to the slide a moment, and we see the support for mobile. So okay. So support for mobile, as you saw, there is another a new mobile only the project template, and other feature for the mobile sites is that you can configure your view to be specific for the mobile or for the desktop, and this is done using the display modes. So the only thing you need to do is write the name, change the name of the view in a the normal one is for the desktop, but then if you add the .mobile, your extension, so CSHTML or ASPX, it will go to mobile. And you can configure your own display mode. So if you want to do something specific for the tablet, or for the iPhone, or for Windows Phone 7, just to address one specific mobile device, you can write your own display mode, and then it will be like index.iphone.chtml or windows.winphone.chtml. They also include jQuery Mobile, which is one of the two biggest libraries for supporting mobile sites very easily. And then we also have VueSwitcher and Browser Overriding, which enable a mobile site to view the desktop version, and that's it, not vice versa. So let's go back to the demo. This one. So this is quite standard site. So I just open it on the Windows Phone emulator. So the demo tool is this one. No, I didn't launch it. The second demo was done with an empty mobile site. I don't do the new mobile site again because it will take forever. So this is a jQuery UI. This is a mobile-specific site, so it will show the mobile version also on desktop. And it's a standard. If you already seen jQuery Mobile, it's a standard jQuery Mobile. And now if you refresh it on the Windows Phone 7, you get the same thing, but on a smaller screen. And the nice thing is that also the back works seamlessly with the hardware button. And that's it. How it's done, I'll just show you some code. The jQuery Mobile, if you don't know it, uses UL and LIs to automatically build this menu. Oh, I think I closed it. Yeah, these menus are nothing that you have to write yourself. It's just an LI that gets automatically styled to a menu. And if you look in the layout, no, not layout, the index. It's just a UL, which has data role of list view, and then each of the element of this unordered list become a iPhone-like menu. But that's kind of not very interesting, so we want to make a website that works with both with the desktop version and the mobile version that are based on the same code base, just different views. So what we are going to do, the first thing we are going to do is to enable this mobile views. And to do that, we have to open a NuGet package, which allows us to, let's hope it works, jQuery. And the NuGet package is called jQuery Mobile. .mvc. Okay. Here there are some network problem with NuGet, so we just do a small trick. I just open it on the browser and now it should work, I hope. Let's try again. jQuery dot mobile. Well, apparently it doesn't work. But they have a backup plan, so we just go to the final version of the demo and we don't write it from scratch. Which is same concept, but at least you don't see me typing. So What here, this other project, just show you what it is. It has an installed package, and it has this package, which is jQuery.mobile.mvc, which you can download. And what does it do? It adds some new views. The first one is the view start. No, not the view start. In the shared, we have the view switcher, which display a button that allows you from mobile to go back to the desktop version. I'll show you later how it works. And then it adds a new controller to handle these links. So if I launch the template, so it's already done. And I open the other page, which is the battery end. So now you see here, you have on the emulator, you see that there is displaying mobile view, desktop view. And if you click on the desktop view, it goes to the desktop view, but still in mobile. So the view switcher knows it is still a mobile, so it tells you you want to go back to the mobile view. Well, in the desktop version, it's not a mobile, so it's no point going to a mobile version, so it doesn't even show the link. So how is this done? First thing, we have... No. Yes, okay. The view switcher. Okay. It basically says, is this a mobile? If it's a mobile, then we do everything. Otherwise, they introduce this concept of the overridden browser. So when you do, to enable this feature, when you do request.browser.whatever, you get the capabilities of the real browser. So it understands if it's a real mobile, if it's a real desktop. Here, on the other end, it does get overridden browser, so it gets the browser that you faked. So in this case, when we were in the desktop version inside the mobile, his mobile device would have been false because the overridden browser is a desktop version. And now, is this done? In the view switcher controller, what it basically say if I decided, I don't go through the old lines, but it's very easy. Is this a mobile? If you set that I want to fake a mobile, then you just clean the overridden browser, so it's a default browser. While if you want to set it, you can set it to desktop. So this means that the user agent will be faked, and for the purpose of understanding which view to show, it will use Internet Explorer 6 from XP, I think. That's the user agent it fakes. So it's very important to understand the difference because in one case it uses the real browser. So in the desktop version it would use the desktop user agent, in the mobile it will use the mobile. While to have this feature working, it uses the overridden browser, which is, so you have two browsers to deal with. And I hope it's clear. If it's not, just send me a question or afterward. And here it also shows that the difference between the layout, the normal desktop layout is the one we saw before. But if you go, if we go to the mobile one, like this one, it's using the jQuery mobile version of the view. And one last bit of this mobile support is to show you how to create your own display modes. So now you already see here I wrote a layout for the iPhone. It's basically the standard jQuery mobile version that is used in mobile, but I just added a hyphen after the title, just to make sure it's I'm not saying lies. But how to detect this? So in the global ASX, in the application start, you have to create a new display mode. And this is done, you can do it in any way you want, but the easiest way is to use the user agent and to do a search on the user agent for the mobile you want. In this case, here I created an iPhone display mode. And I check the overridden user agent. I need to check the overridden user agent because otherwise, if I check the real user agent, the desktop version will not detect the iPhone if we use the view switcher. So if the user agent has iPhone in it and all iPhone user agent has iPhone in it, we will use the iPhone display mode. And to show you, since I don't have an emulator here for the iPhone, I just use Firefox, and I say that my default user agent is an iPhone, and then I have to find the URL of the page again. It should be it. And so here it's a desktop, but it says it's an iPhone. And then if I click desktop view, I view the desktop view. And then if I click the mobile, I go again to the iPhone version of it. So that's more or less all we have for the mobile support. And I don't know if you have any question. Are there any question in the Q&A? So we go to the back to the slide. Okay, so we are done with the new version, new feature, code feature based. And the next one I want to show is the Recipe, or Recipe. Basically, it's a plugin that allows you to write custom code generation. So imagine you want to, set up an Ajax jQuery grid, and you don't want to write the repetitive code every time. You just say, I want to point this class, and I want to create a jQuery grid enabling editing, sorting on these columns. You do it in a Windows form or in a WPF form, as you prefer, and you write also all the UI yourself, so you can do whatever you want. And then you just hack into the Visual Studio Extensibility library, and you create new files. So you change the content of files and whatever you need to do to enable this your feature. Or for example, you can also even go crazier. You might want to add the Facebook login, and from your UI you can also open a web browser inside and then go to the Facebook page to get the ID. And then copy automatically into. You can do whatever you want because you have full control of what you do. It's not just a PowerShell or some rules. It's you write your own UI too, so you can build everything you want. And they are downloadable via NuGet, so that's the standard way to include new feature functionality inside Visual Studio now. It's still a bit undocumented. There's not much documentation, but just remember, this is a developer preview, so it might even disappear in the future. We don't know. It's beta. It's not even beta. Everything can happen. The only thing that documents the recipes is a blog post from Phil Hack, and it's listed in the references at the end of the slides. And how to do recipe? Basically, recipe is a class library. You have to reference the Visual Studio Extensibility DLL. Then you implement one of these two interfaces. So one is if you want a recipe to appear when you left-click on a folder, and the other one if you want the recipe the receipt to appear if you click on a file. Then you build your own UI dialog. Then you package and deploy with NuGet. And then you include it in your another project. Or you just do everything easier and you install this package, which is a Recipe SDK that it's not an official Microsoft thing. It's something that Philak did. But it's a easy way to start up with recipes because it does everything automatically, except your own UI dialog. And then I'll show you in a second how it's done. So let's go to the desktop. And okay, so let's open. So you have two projects, the recipe and the recipe target. So what the recipe is. So when you install the SDK, you automatically get the new spec file and the recipe file with already everything referenced. It's kind of tricky to get the right Visual Studio Extensibility DLL because there are like one per version, and the one that it depends on how many Visual Studio have installed, but all of them that appear in the add reference library, they are not the correct one. You have to go to the right folder manually with browse, and but it's in the reference also. It's in the shared library inside the Microsoft shared Visual Studio and blah blah blah. So basically, in this case, I created the iFolder recipe, and the recipe is three methods. The only real method that you need to that does something is the execute method. All the other one are metadata that allow the list of recipe to display information about your recipe. So the description, the icon, it's important to add an icon, otherwise it doesn't work. It crashes when you first launch it. There is no default icon. But to make an icon, it's very easy. You just go to properties, and you do go to resources, and then you add the resource, and then you create a new icon. And the default one is the one I'm using. But it's really important because the first time I tried it, I said, okay, I don't care about an icon, I just want the default one. But there is no default one, so you have to do it yourself. So this is a very simple recipe. What it does is you get the folder the recipe was called on, and then that's I'm using a model in every code I write, even if it's not MVC. So I just did a very small class to get hold of the variable of the classes and the properties I need. And then I pass this method to a Windows form. And what it just shows which folder I called the recipe on and the text. And then I apply recipe. Oh, no, it stopped. Okay. And then when I get the dialog back, I just create a new myfile.txt in the folder I call the recipe on. I write inside this the code, the text I wrote in the small text box. And then I add the project to the I add the file to the project. And then you have to package it with a NuGet. You can do two different things. One is to open the NuGet package explorer, open the new spec file, and which is in here. and then it shows you can do whatever you want. You can, if you have a recipe that needs also some kind of other reference, or you want to include a library, and then you want to also download it from NuGet, you can add that you need a new library, and you can search for another library, but probably here it will not work because we don't get, oh, now it works. So you can, if you need, for example, to add a jQuery to your project for the recipe because you want to add something with jQuery, you can add the dependency to it. But that's just a normal NuGet package. And then you can save it. Or probably better for the development time, because every time you rebuild, you want to get the new recipe to the other project via NuGet, so it's kind of boring to open every time the NuGet package explorer to package a new NuGet package again. So what to do is that you just copy in a tool folder the NuGet command line, and then you add a post build event that just packages everything. So it's a build event. So you call the package and you copy to your temporary NuGet folder on your local computer. And then from the destination project, close all, you can just say, I want to add a NuGet package, but this time, oh, no, it's online, but it's on my local. And you see that you can install the package. It doesn't show it's installed, but it's installed, trust me. And then when you go to any folder, you just right-click, add, run recipe, and then you open it. And here it shows which folder you called it on. And then you say blah, blah, blah. And this is the text you can edit. That's just my, okay, it doesn't work. Interesting. Okay, but the file has been created, so that's the file I brought. I don't know why I didn't edit it automatically, but as I said, working with the Visual Studio extensibility is not very straightforward, so you have to make a few tests. And that's it for the recipe. And next is asynchronous controllers. So, asynchronous controller is a kind of strange feature, I guess, because it's not been into MVC1. And in MVC2, had a kind of suboptimal support because it was very complicated to use. And probably at the time, not many people were using asynchronous controllers and also asynchronous web pages because it was not very big deal, because we were still in a period of where we had the infinite gigahertz on a single CPU. Now that the trend of the hardware developer has changed and we have much more, we have many cores on the same, so it's better to exploit the different threads instead of just doing everything in the same thread. And so asynchronous came to mind to more people. And also now everything is done connecting to some external web service, and all the connection to long I/O, it's better to do them in a synchronous manner, because then you don't block the server just waiting for something that might not even arrive because it's not on the other side of the world. So now asynchronous is a first level citizen in MVC, but just to make you understand the difference. This is in MVC 2 and MVC 3 how we were doing asynchronous controller. So we had two methods, the start asynchronous and the end asynchronous, one called async and the other called completed. And you have to manually increment and decrement the number of operations that were still pending. And then you had to when the operation, the asynchronous operation has completed, to save the result in an array of parameters, and then this array of parameters will then have been sent to the completed to the completed method that then would have returned the view model. But now with MVC 4, we don't have to do all this crazy stuff anymore. And we have two versions of the asynchronous controller. The first one, they are both single method. They both don't require manual handling of requests on more increment, decrement, passing parameters, and so on. And they both return a task of action result. This is possible because in MVC 3, they were still targeting .NET 2 and 3, but the CLR 2. Now with MVC 4, they decided to drop the support of the CLR 2. So they have the task library that they can leverage, and now MVC 4 is the first one that drops support of the CLR 2, so they can use this feature. And so what it's done is basically a class, a method that is still in an asynchronous controller that returns a task of action result. So you can do it this way without calling another method at the end afterward. While if you go even further and you install the .NET 4.5 preview and Dev 11 and or in .NET 4, you install the asynchronous CTP. You can use the async await syntax. And you see, we went from, like, I don't know, 20 lines of code, maybe 10 lines of code, to 2 lines of code. And this is exactly the same as a synchronous controller, because you just call your service, and in front of the call of your service, you put the await keyword, and then this means that the controller will wait to execute everything that is after until it received the result of the asynchronous call. So now it's very easy to do asynchronous controller. Just don't abuse them, because it's okay if you want to do an asynchronous controller for a long I/O operation like web service, file read, and very long database queries, like reports, but don't do it for like select ID from table ID equal 1, because that will take like 1 millisecond, and all the overhead of changing between one thread and the other is overkill. So now we will see how to do an asynchronous controller and a code demo. Did they switch to the desktop? Okay. So let's run. Okay. So for the moment, it's just a normal synchronous controller. So if we just call it, it compiles and do everything as normal. And the home page, it's quite fast, as you see. But since I'm not calling it an external component, I'm just putting a slip on it. So I'm just faking an external call to an external service. So I'm doing this very small, that waits for 5 seconds and takes the input and returning back as the output. First thing you have to do is, as I said, change the parent class of the controller to async controller. Otherwise, it won't work. And then here, I just comment the old one, and I uncomment the task version. So what I'm doing is I'm firing up a new task that is doing is calling the method, and it uses the continue with method of the task library. So this means that it waits for the do stuff in which is our external service to complete the operation, and then when it's completed, it set the value of the variables and then returns a view. That's very easy. So if you launch it again, you see the about is fast, the contact is fast, but the home, oh, it's fast as well. That's not what that's meant to be. Yeah, that's because I'm not running the right project. What is it? Ah, I'm debugging. You have to change the startup project. Okay. Yeah, so now it should take 5 seconds to load the home page. Okay, now a bit more because it's compiling also. But now if you go about it's fast, home, and it takes 5 seconds and then it returns. So we were calling it asynchronously. But we can go even further, as I said, and I think I finished with the mobile so I can close the monitor. That's the one. So this is a Visual Studio VNext Dev 11. Oh, I did click on something wrong.
Click on help.
I clicked on help. Okay, just to. Okay, please. Okay. Now it still say not responding, but it works. So just do the same thing. So I fake an external component. Okay. So which is exactly the same thing. The only difference is that since it now has to be asynchronous, I have to return also. I cannot return just a string. That's not something about MVC, but it's about the task library. If you want to wait on something, it has to be a task of something. The return type has to be a task of whatever you want to return, not just the string in this case. It has to be asynchronous. In this case, it will be called without asynchronous because it's not waiting for something inside, but it has to be that way. So the other thing is that I'm saying that I want to wait on the do stuff method to complete before going on. So I say I want to. Okay. This variable will take the values of do stuff method only when it's finished. So the code will stop here. And then when this waiting period is finished, it will put the value inside the message and then go on. And of course, another important thing is that can't be a view result, but it has to be an asynchronous method that returns a task of view result. And also, we can also, I don't think it works now. Async. Okay. We have to still say it's an asynchronous controller, otherwise, it will. We return just the signature of this task of a view result. We not return the page. So if we launch it again, it's the same thing as before. It will wait 5 seconds in the home, and no seconds in the about. But as you see, it's exactly the same as it was before. I just added a wait keyword in front of the call to the external web service, and I added a sync to the name of the method, and changed the return. But that's basically what I've done. It's exactly the same as doing a synchronous controller. So if you call external web service or everything that makes sense to be on a synchronous controller, please do it because it will help a lot the performance of your site. And again, about it's easy, it's fast, and home is not. That's it. That's a big improvement, and especially now with with the rise of web APIs everywhere. So if you want to connect to Flickr, to Facebook, everything it's an asynchronous operation. So it's a good thing that now it's has the same complexity or not complexity of a standard method. Okay, so we close Visual Studio Dev 11, and we go back to the slides. Now we have still 10 minutes, mm-hmm. and let's see what we can fit into that time. Maybe if I show the slide again, it will be useful. So this is what we have now in MVC 4. Okay. Doesn't go to the next slide. Okay, let's try this way. Oops, we have a problem with the slides. Okay, now we have it. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the roadmap online on Codeplex, you will see more or less what's going to come, might come or might not, but that's a possible planning and the provision on what is going to come. So basically, there will probably be a better integration with all the other products of Microsoft. So as I said before, they want to bring everything in the same package. So now Web Pages 2 has a lot of helpers to connect to Facebook, to Twitter, and to do OAuth, all the crazy thing. But they are just in Web Pages 2. So at the moment, you can't use in MVC. So it would be cool if they were brought into the MVC as well. And with the release of ASP.NET.5, there will be new feature coming to ASP.NET.5, like automatic minification and bundling of resources. That will be useful also in MVC. And also, in the roadmap, they state that there will be better support of Web API. And so that's what's probably going to happen in the future. I just show you, we have 10 minutes, maybe we can do both the slide, the demos. Okay, doesn't want to change slide. Well, we do directly
meeting the... Problem?
Huh?
Is it a live meeting problem?
I think so. Because it doesn't change
the slide.
The next slide? No, it's not changing to slide. So I just go to the desktop and maybe, and I show. Oh, now it's coming.
It's just slow.
Okay. Did I share the desktop? No.
No. Yes. It was just slow.
Okay. But anyway, what I was just wanting to show is how the bundling works. So if I just say startup project, and if I launch it, as you see, this is a standard MVC page. And in the layout, you have, all this JavaScript file you're downloading, and it would be cool if everything was in the same file and maybe even minified, not with comments and full variables and so on. So what we can do is just remove everything that we have here because we don't need them. And we have this file, which is scripts/js, which is a default bundling for MVC, for ASP.NET. And then, so this automatically, it's basically built on routing. And when you call this, it's basically a new route, a new route handler, and it's that it automatically configured. So when you call JavaScript scripts/js, it automatically bundles all the default JavaScript libraries for the project. And to enable it, you just go to the global ASX and you say bundle.bundles.enable default bundles. And if you launch it, you will see that the site, the page will still work as before because I mean we didn't change anything. So still the media library and everything else, the modernizer. And, but if you look at the network profile, and you want to clear the cache, yes. And if I just reload it. Start capturing. That would have been useful. Okay, so here you have JavaScript / JS, which is 3600 kilobyte, and this one contains everything. So you have the jQuery library, all minified. You have the jQuery UI library, all minified. You have all the other library, appended one after the other, all minified. So instead of having three files, you just have one. Here it doesn't help a lot because jQuery, the production version of jQuery and all jQuery UI is already all minified because it's been already compiled. But if you had your own files with the comments and all your nice curly brackets and indentation, it will everything will be merged in a single line. So it will save a lot of space. And you can also build your own bundles. Like if you don't like the, if you need other thing or you need specific libraries or you don't, you want to exclude something from the library because minification is a, it's not as a fixed, doesn't have a fixed result. JavaScript is a kind of loosey language, so you can do stuff in a not optimal way. And if you bundle, if you minify it, something might break. So if you have this situation, you can just write your own bundle and include and exclude the files you choose to exclude or include. So in this case, I just want, I'm not using a modernizer, for example, so I don't want to include it into the package. So I just say I want a new bundle, which is called the script smaller. I change the URL in the script definition, in the script reference, and I say I want to add to this bundle all only jQuery and jQuery UI. And then if I launch it, and we open the developer tools, and start capturing and reload. Okay, and there you see it's smaller, not a lot smaller, but yes, almost 100K smaller. And if you scroll down, it just has, it doesn't have a modernizer at the bottom as it has previously, but just it stopped to jQuery UI. So that's a very nice feature of .NET 4.5. But as you see, I didn't go to Dev 11 to use it. I just went to the standard one because it's also part of the default package that gets installed with MVC 4. Basically, the difference is that in MVC 4.5, all this feature will be in system.web.optimization and system.web.infrastructure, while here it's just a preview. So it's a Microsoft, it's a different namespace, but the functionality are more or less the same. And the last bit, I'm not going to the slide, I'll show you later, and I'm not going through the coding, manual coding, I'll just show you the final version of it. And it's Web API. Web API at the moment is not a ASP.NET thing. It's the latest version of Web API we have is WCF Web API Preview 6. So it's under the umbrella of WCF, not under ASP.NET. But it's a web thing. So to get it, you just go to NuGet, and I show you what, which is the package I have. And it's a web API.hol, and it will install enhancement, web API, web API core, web API data, and everything. So if you want to use a web API, you just go to NuGet and say and install the webapi.all package. WebAPI, it's a bit integrated with MVC, the WCF version. And so how it's configured, you specify that you want, using routing, you add a new route, which is which has a different route handler than the ASP.NET one. So you configure a service route. In this case, I created an API to show the webcast. And you say, this at this URL, you have to call this webcast API class. And to make easy the development and testing, you can configure it to have a test client, which is a JavaScript client that is started together with the site. So you don't have to use a Fiddler or a Wireshark or other HTTP sniffing tool. And just use the site. And it's kind of easy to do everything. You just create the class you want to return. So in this case, it's a webcast, which has a title and the author. And it's important that it has to have an empty constructor, otherwise the serialization will not work, because it will serialize it to JSON or XML, depending on how you call it. So it has to be serialized, and serialization needs an empty constructor. And then the API, it has to be inside the APIs folder. That's a convention. You probably can change it via configuration, but by default, it uses this one. And it also called, the class has to be called webcast API. And so it has to have the API, like with MVC, you have controller, here you have to have API. And this is, as you see, it's a web WCF, so it has a service contract on top, and then it has a webget, so it means that this method will be called when you use it with the get method on HTTP get method. In this case, it returns an iQueryable, which means that you can use the data to query it, so you can say question mark, I don't know, what was it, name or author? Author equal Simone Chiaretta, and then you just do a search on it. So just launching it, it's... I guess I started the wrong project again. Startup. Okay, here it doesn't show anything, but I have to go to API. So if you do webcast, you get the result in XML. So it has it's automatically serialized in XML. But if you go / test, this it opens the test client. And so you can see all the resources it has here. In this case, we just have one, but if you add more, it will show more of that. Then here it also shows in gray or in black methods that are enabled. In this case, it's just get. And you can change the asset header. So you could say, if you specify asterisk, everything, star, you get an XML version. But if you want to get JSON, you don't have to do anything more than just adding, I want text JSON or application JSON. And then you get the JSON version of the same result. That's done automatically by the web API. And a web API is very nice because imagine you add, I don't know, pictures of, I also included the picture property. And I say accept, in this case, it's not, I didn't do it, but I could have done, as accept header, I could have added the images / JPEG, I think it's the MIME type. And then it would have returned the image of me and the Chris instead of just the text. Because based on the accept header, if I had asked for the contact of the directory that you can download in, I don't know, Outlook, it could have said added the MIME type of the, I don't know what it's called, the text directory, I think, or something like that. And then you got the address book version of the contact instead of just name and surname. So that's done automatically by Web API just by looking at the ACEPT header. And that's all for the demos. Then we see if we have some more slides that just finalizing. If they work, of course. So this was the minification. Oh, now it works. So I just show you before. Oh, that's not correct. The global ACEPT, of course, is not a script, but it's enable default bundle stuff. This is what we have with WCF Web API Preview 6. Wait, as I already said, it's a WCF syntax, so you can do everything you can do in WCF. You can return JSON or XML by default, or it's extendable, you can return any MIME type you want. And so that's it. So just wrapping up, because we have 3 minutes later than expected. So MVC4 has introduced basically new feature for the mobile and better asynchronous and enhanced tooling with your recipes, however it's pronounced. The current release is a developer preview, so it's not even a beta. So keep that in mind. Things might change or might break in the future, might be dropped. But it's 4 months already old, so we can expect beta coming in the next few months. And the difference between this and the previous version of MVC is that since it's now a kind of stable library, it's going to be in sync with the releases of Visual Studio. So the next version will come out with Visual Studio vNext, which we don't know the name of yet, but it's called internally Dev 11. And here are some references. So the first one, you can download the bits, release note, just tell you what I already told you. And the roadmap, the roadmap is still of September, so it might not be even accurate, might change or not. And then here, two links to something that Philak did. One is the mobility talk at Build, which shows the demo of the mobile version of sites in ASP.NET MVC4. And here is the only public documentation available to how to build a REST API.